Well, good morning, everyone, and we thank you for tuning in on this historic day. Our big three stories. Mayor de Blasio did it again. I guess he wants to make a splash before he leaves office. He's mandated all private employees to be vaccinated by December the 27th. It's the first city in the country to do that. Of course, there's a lot of blowback. Not sure how it's going to be enforced. Also, everyone five and up must be vaccinated for indoor dining and activities starting a week from today. Also in the big three, well, the hits just keep on coming for Chris Cuomo. First, he was fired from CNN, and yesterday he didn't show up for his satellite radio show. Later said, well, he's done with that as well. Sources say he was forced out, and he may sue for the remaining $18 to $20 million on his CNN contract. And rounding out the big three, today is the 80th anniversary, one of the darkest days in American history, the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
And of course, that led to a surge in patriotism. We remember the Sammy Kay tune, which came out a short time after Pearl Harbor.
Let's remember Pearl Harbor. As we go to meet the foe, let's remember Pearl Harbor. As we hit the Alamo, we will always remember how they died for liberty. Let's remember Pearl Harbor and go on to victory.
So the survivors are dwindling. Well, yeah, they're up, just do the math. They're up near 100 years old. But we had a guest from Pearl Harbor in the last hour, and he said he ran into someone gathering for the ceremony, 100 years old, and he will be there today in Oahu as we remember 80 years ago today. Now, all morning long, we've been giving away $100 gift cards to PC Richard and Son, one per hour. We've already given away two today, including last hour to Harry Amundsen from Berlin, New Jersey. Your next chance is coming up sometime this hour. Just listen for the PC Richard and Son whistle. And when you hear that whistle, be the seventh caller at 800-321-0710, and you'll win $100 to spend on anything PC Richard and Son sells, from electronics to appliances to mattresses. So good luck. It's a pleasure to welcome in one of our faves, Christine Brennan, the terrific sports columnist for USA Today. There's so much to discuss. Of course, the big story on the table is U.S. diplomats will be boycotting the upcoming Winter Games beginning February 4th in Beijing. And Christine, good morning to you. Does that mean anything, or is it a hollow gesture?
It's symbolic, Len and Michael. Good to talk to you. It's symbolic, but it's something. Yeah, the good news is, of course, it's not athletes. And I think that's important to say right off the top. U.S. athletes right. will go to the Olympics. They will compete. They will be terrific. They will win their medals. And also, they can speak out. If the human rights abuses of China, which is, of course, the whole concern here, the way China treats many different groups and awful human rights violations and abuses over decades, if that bothers these athletes, and I know it does because I've already talked to some of them, they can speak. They can put it on social media. They'll have a huge platform, frankly, the U.S. athletes will, in addition to competing. So this is, I'm sure a lot of people are saying, what is this delegation, right? In 2008, in Beijing, the Summer Olympics in Beijing 14 years ago, President George W. Bush led the delegation. And he received criticism for actually going to China because the human rights issue was a huge issue back then. He was there for a few days. He talked to Michael Phelps. He attended one of the swimming race venues, one of the days at the swimming venue. It's kind of a group of people, could be the diplomats, an ambassador or two, family members of the president, former Olympians, Olympic stars, always Olympians, but former gold medalists, prominent Olympians can be part of this. It can be 10 people, 12, 15. We'll go around, wave the flag, red, white, and blue, have meet and greets, get a chance to talk to the athletes, be around some of them, and then go home after a couple days. That's what this is. Mike Pence led it as the vice president in 2018 in Pyeongchang, last Winter Olympics. Dr. Jill Biden, as the first lady, led a very small delegation, obviously, during COVID, to Tokyo just a couple months ago for the Summer Olympics.
It doesn't seem like a big deal to me, but apparently the Chinese, Christine, their noses are out of joint. What are they talking about doing to retaliate in some way?
Yeah, they're angry about this, and they're in a real jam here, because if they want to talk about being mad, if they put it on Chinese media, then 1.4 billion Chinese are going to say, why are you mad? And they're blocking all this information, right? The people in China have no idea about the Peng Shui situation, the great Chinese tennis player who was missing and has, of course, the biggest Me Too story in the world right now, her very strong allegation of rape against a former top Chinese official that has been censored and just gone from Chinese social media. Well, if China really wants to complain and get Chinese people angry, then they have to explain that the U.S. isn't coming. Why isn't the U.S. coming? Well, because of our human rights abuses, and they don't want to say that. So that alone is probably worth the price of admission, that what Biden did was so great, because he's just stuck it right to China. They are saying they might retaliate. Maybe they won't send diplomats to some conference, maybe. That's at the level where we are. This is not, I don't see it as being a huge deal. And there is concern or questions. Again, no one's said this, but a hypothetical. Could they then say to the United States, we're not going to let your athletes into the Olympics, right? That's a thought. No. The International Olympic Committee runs the Olympic Games. They run the credentialing. I get my credential from the International Olympic Committee and the Chinese Olympic organizers who work in concert. There is no way on earth that the International Olympic Committee is going to say or be allowing no U.S. athletes, no U.S. television, no U.S. sponsors. Right. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Of course, they want the U.S. to be at the Chinese Olympics.
We're on with Christine Brennan, the award-winning national sports columnist for USA Today. You brought up an interesting point, which could be very juicy. What happens if, Americans win medals and they get up and they speak and they ask about where's Peng Shui? And that could be really juicy and embarrassing, no?
It could be very embarrassing to China, and wouldn't it be terrific? It would be fabulous. You know, this is a case, Len, it's the old be careful what you wish for. China wants the Olympics, of course. They wanted the Summer Olympics in 2008. They want, of course, these Winter Olympics in 2022. This is one of the greatest gifts China can have. It gives you credibility. You are on the world stage. You're a big player. You've got a foothold in sports that no one else has. I mean, getting the Olympics is really, it's the best, right? You're hosting the Olympic Games. Well, with that comes scrutiny. It comes a white-hot spotlight. And that spotlight was on China in 2008, and we did our best at a different time to highlight the human rights abuses. I wrote about it and talked about it as much as I could with USA Today and on TV back then. Now it's just ratcheted up. It is just at a fever pitch because of the Peng Shui allegation and the way China has buried her and just gotten her out of the way, and the IOC has bungled it as well. And so that story will probably continue all the way to the Olympic Games. And again, absolutely, the athletes of the world can speak out and talk about it. They can talk about all the other issues in China and the way that Chinese are treating various groups. Obviously, again, terrible human rights violations. And that's China's going to just have to deal with it. That's, if you're going to host the Olympics, you're going to get that scrutiny. China doesn't like it, but that doesn't matter, because the world is coming to China, and it's a world that includes many democratic nations and many nations with the freedom of speech for their athletes, and those athletes will exercise that right, and they have the opportunity to do it. Now, maybe China will want to just turn off everyone's phone and all, literally no internet out of China. Well, that, I can assure you guys, would be a very big story, and I don't think that would last, more than an hour or two, because, again, that just could not be allowed by the International Olympic Committee and the other nations of the world.
Hey, Christine, before you run, what are the protocols going to be like for COVID precautions? I mean, we have this new strain. We're not quite clear of what's happening, but it apparently is very infectious.
Yes, Michael, it is, and certainly a lot of questions. Again, the opening ceremony is February 4th, so less than 2 months now. This will be more stringent than Tokyo was, and as you know, I was in Tokyo. This will be a much tougher bubble, to the point where you have to fly as a member of the media, or anyone going to these Olympics, into one of four hub cities, which include Paris, Singapore, Tokyo, and Hong Kong, You have to, that's your jumping off point into Beijing, and then you have to get on a shuttle that is a bubbleized shuttle, quarantine shuttle, so to speak, and you have to hit it, so you go land in that city with a few hours to then get on those very specified flights, like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Christine. That kind of thing. And then it will be even more of a stringent bubble at the games themselves. Fans will be there, but Chinese fans, not fans from around the world.
Christine, always a pleasure having you on. I wish we had a lot more time, a lot of other issues going on, but we'll have you back and always enjoy speaking with you. Thanks, Christine.
Thanks, Christine.
Thanks so much.
All right. Yeah, she's terrific, Michael. Coming up next, when we return, why the Italian dentist says his life is ruined. You heard about his phony vaccination scheme? Oh, wow. Coming up next.
Well, Len, you know who would have been 125 years old this week? Actually, his birthday was yesterday.
Hmm. Do I get a hint?
Now,
nothing?
It's somebody that I have a feeling your father, who edited a songwriter's magazine, would have had a great deal of admiration for.
Benny Goodman.
Nope. I'm going to give you a little hint. Here's something he wrote. In time, the Rockies may crumble. Gibraltar may tumble. They're
Johnny
only
Mercer.
Made of clay. No. Our love is here to stay. Who wrote those lyrics? You don't know?
Is it your buddy Sammy Kahn?
No, Ira Gershwin.
By the way,
that great.
You know what? That was my wedding song.
Oh, really? That's a great song.
Really?
That is a great. Isn't that a great song?
That was.
Ira Gershwin. Yeah.
And you know, he was always overshadowed by his brother George Gershwin, who was big celebrity. You know, flashy, performed in concerts. Of course, sadly died 37 of a brain tumor. But Ira lived a long, long time, and he was a totally unflashy guy, studious guy. But he wrote. He wrote so many of the great songs. The Man I Love, Embraceable You, Lady Be Good, all of those great Ira Gershwin songs. There's a terrific salute to Ira Gershwin I draw your attention to in the Wall Street Journal, and one of the poets, I think, of American songwriting. So happy birthday, Ira Gershwin, 125 years old. Now, would your dad have known him at all?
I don't know. It's something I never discussed. He might have met him in passing. I don't know. My dad was not he was a very shy guy and rarely went out on the town, even though he was invited all the time to all the big bands and all the big venues, and he never wanted to go, much to the chagrin of my mom, but he was just a private guy.
Yeah. So anyway, happy birthday, Ira Gershwin, 125 years old. So tell me about this Italian dentist.
Oh, this is unbelievable. He didn't want to get his booster the way you did. I mean, Michael manned up, got his booster, and has been complaining about it all morning long. That was Michael this morning when he joined us on the show, you know, saying how his arm hurts. Anyway, this dentist in Italy shows up for his booster shot, but he had a fake plastic arm that he presented to the... to the nurse, and the nurse noticed, see, this arm is a different color from the rest of his body, and ratted him out. Well, now,
oh my God,
now this dentist is claiming his life is ruined. Well, schmuck, who did that? That was you. You brought it on yourself. I mean, here's a medical guy, a dentist, shows up with a fake. I mean, you got to admit, it's a clever idea, but obviously he didn't know how to carry it off, and the color did him in. And he got busted.
I love this story so much.
Well, you knew about it. Natalie, you knew the story before anybody.
The craziest thing, I knew the story mid-last week. My husband has been teaching himself Italian, and he's got all these online apps and things like that. And what he's been doing every day is he reads the Italian newspaper online as practice.
Oh.
So last week he's reading whatever newspaper, and he goes, oh my gosh, you've got to hear this story. And of course he tells me, and I'm like, are you sure you read that right? Are you sure that's what? He's like, yeah, it's the something about a silicone arm. That must mean a fake arm. And I looked around for it, and I couldn't find it. But 2 days later, there it was, you know, in the American papers.
So if your husband is learning Italian, is he going around the house saying, buongiorno, mangia?
He actually does.
Boy. So he's like the kid from Breaking Away, pretending he's Italian.
Well, he's not pretending. Movie. He is Italian, but...
Oh, okay.
So, well,
he is
Italian. So.
Right. Is he planning a trip to Italy, or he's just learning Italian for the hell of it?
He's learning it just because I think during the pandemic he needed something to do, so he started it. And now he's obsessed with it.
He does well, have a know, personality. I'm telling you, he just can't sit still, your husband.
He can't.
Well, you should tell him to read Dante's Inferno in Italian. It's one of the great works of Italian literature. Well, one of the great works of European literature.
I don't know what his vocabulary is like these days, but maybe next year.
But you know what I'd say if I had to read Dante's Inferno?
It's one of the great poems of all time, Len, I'm telling you. Dante's Inferno.
I'm sure it is.
I mean, our whole vision of hell comes from Dante's Inferno. So very important in the history of Western literature, in the history of mankind, really. So,
take your word for it. I'll have literature for 2000, Michael.
You know, I'm pretty good when they have those categories. Sports, I'm not so good at, but whenever they have literature, I'm pretty good at that one. So, all right, news time at 9:30 from Joe Barlick. Good morning, Joe.
Michael, by the end of the month, you're going to have to be vaccinated. Everybody's going to have to get vaccinated or you can't work in New York City. Mayor de Blasio imposing a vaccine mandate for all private sector workers, and it begins December the 27th.
Because of Omicron and that likely very high-level transmissibility, because of the colder weather, and because of the holiday gatherings, that's a triple threat, and we need to be aggressive.
And beginning the 14th, kids as young as 5 are going to need to show proof of vaccination to do indoor dining or other indoor activities. The state now reporting 4 new cases of the Omicron variant, pushing the total number up to 12. Researcher Dr. Yvonne Maldonado says there's evidence that Omicron is more contagious, but fortunately less dangerous.
Most of the cases that we've heard about have been very mild, and that's really good news so far, but we don't know enough yet to make a final decision.
Officials say the big concern, though, is still Delta. It is driving a post-Thanksgiving spike in New York and around the country. And because of COVID, performance test scores are sinking for children whose schools moved to online learning during the pandemic. A report published by iReady found many children in elementary and middle school are 2 or more grade levels below their actual grade level this fall than before the pandemic. And speaking of kids, Pope Francis has a message for young people not to be prisoners of the cell phone. Speaking in the Greek capital of Athens yesterday, the Pope called on kids to instead share their lives with others. He said many people today are constantly using social media but are not themselves very social. They're caught up in themselves and prisoners of the very cell phone in their hand. He also added that if you want to bring about something truly new in history, you should serve others.
Good
President Biden
That's
making
good
a
stuff.
It is
good.
A good stuff. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Nobody's going to listen to him, but you know.
Maybe they will. Maybe young people will respect that.
President Biden talks to Russian President Vladimir Putin today on a video conference. The White House says Biden will confront Putin about the buildup of Russian troops along the border with Ukraine, raising fears that Russia may be ready to wage an invasion. Of course, Putin says, I'm not doing that. The Biden administration says it will make clear its unwavering support for Ukraine's territorial integrity and independence. Also from the White House, no shame or sense of irony here. Yesterday, they released a report detailing potential corruption in the art industry. At no point
Hunter who? What?
Yeah.
Hunter?
At no point did they mention Hunter Biden, who decided to become a painter a year ago and has sold artwork to mysterious buyers for as much as $500,000.
He must be a good artist.
Got to be. A 38-page report was released by the White House going into detail about possible money laundering and other misconduct in the art industry.
The pass they give the Bidens. It's just incredible, Joe, the mainstream media give them a pass here.
Len has no problem with it. The White House, White House argues, listen to this, this is why you should not worry. The White House has argued that safeguards are in place to ensure the buyer of Hunter's paintings doesn't have the potential to influence the administration. Okay?
Oh, that's great. I'm fine with that. Pathetic. And Len banging on about Ivanka Trump and her copyrights in China and this, that, and the other thing. But Hunter Biden can sell artwork for $500,000? You don't think he's cashing in somehow, some way, and some of that money's not being kicked up to the old man? Please. Come on.
Nothing to see here.
Score.
No laws have been broken.
Let's move along. We got nothing to see. All right, let's get to our Wall Street numbers. NASDAQ is up 300 points. That's nearly 2% gain. NASDAQ has been battered the last couple of weeks, so it's recovering a bit. And the S&P is up 65 in early trading.
All right, thanks, Joe Bartlett. Coming up next, hey, Mrs. Doubtfire opened on Broadway this week. It's based on the famous Robin Williams movie. How is it? We're going to check in with New York Post entertainment columnist Johnny Oleksinski when we get back.
Our buddy Johnny Oleksinski joins us as the entertainment columnist for the New York Post. I picked up his column the other day, and you see a little picture of him above the column. It's, you know, something right out of like a post office wall. But anyway, yeah, I was anxious to see his review of Mrs. Doubtfire, which just opened on Broadway. And the headline reads, Mrs. Doubtfire review, bringing the movie to Broadway was a huge mistake. I guess you didn't like it, huh, Johnny?
You know, Len, midway through Mrs. Doubtfire, I finally had my Howard Beale and network, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
God.
Moment.
What we made it so bad?
We've been forced to watch these cookie cutter generic movie musicals made out of movies for years. And this one was particularly obnoxious. I don't know if you've seen the movie. Whenever I ask you if you've seen a movie, you generally tell me you have not. So let's continue.
No, Glenn has not seen the movie. Who hasn't seen Mrs. Doubtfire? Listen, I thought Tootsie on Broadway was terrific. I really enjoyed it. I thought they changed it enough from the movie. I liked Tootsie. I was surprised it failed. You probably weren't. But anyway, what made this one so egregious?
Well, Tootsie was always the better film anyway. Tootsie is a fantastic movie. Mrs. Doubtfire is like so much stuff we are given in the 90s. Which if you really go back and look at some of these movies that came out in the 90s, most entertainment in the 90s, really, it's all pretty bad and sappy. But Robin Williams is someone you can't recreate. And Rob McClure in Mrs. Doubtfire tries, and oh, does he throw a lot of energy into it. I thought, gosh, it's like a 2-hour Coke binge I'm watching. And it just grated on me. I couldn't watch this man anymore lie to his children and wife and pretend to be a Scottish woman. Also, they can't believe that these kids don't recognize their father who's standing a foot in front of their face just because he put on a latex mask. It's ridiculous.
You know, Johnny, I read your review, too, and it was fun. A good knockdown review. But I read another review. And this
you guys love to entertain each other with, let me see if I can rip it better than you. That's great.
Totally, completely, yeah. Johnny actually finds my old hits where I really am ripping things apart and then texts me them. Do you remember when you wrote this mean thing about Stephen Sondheim? I have no memory of it, but there it is. Anyway, some of the critics, some of your colleagues, are unbelievably pompous in their reviews of Mrs. Doubtfire. I call to your attention David Cody, who is one of the most pompous people on the planet. Here's what he said of Mrs. Doubtfire. Can you believe this is even English? Here's what he wrote, Len. Get this. It's a patriarchal pan-gender fantasy that simultaneously decenters and recenters cis-hetero masculinity.
I get
you know what that means?
No. No idea.
Same as for your
didn't
Yale
see the movie.
Can you imagine that kind of writing from a critic, Johnny?
Who's he write
I mean,
for?
Please.
Well, who's he write for?
I could imagine being fired for that kind of writing at the Post.
Absolutely. No, you would not last 2 seconds at the Post if you wrote something like that. So anyway, yeah, I hear it isn't very good. How long do you give it? I mean, I heard their advance is pretty weak, so this could be a fast shutdown.
The advance is weak, and let me tell you, so I have some friends who are flying over from or plan to fly over from England next week with their two little kids to go see the Radio City show and Wicked and all these things. But now if 5-year-olds plus have to be vaccinated. In Britain, you can't get vaccinated unless you're over 12. So I think all these family shows are going to have a hard time.
Whoa, that's very interesting, Johnny. Yeah. Hey, Johnny, what's a couple of movies are going to make a big splash later this week, being the Ricardos, West Side Story. You got some thoughts on those?
Well, Len, I know you think I'm very stubborn and I can't admit when I'm wrong, but I'm going to admit that I was wrong about Nicole Kidman being cast as Lucille Ball in Being the Ricardos, because it is an astonishing performance and a terrific movie that it's going to be in theaters this Friday, but it'll in New York, but it'll be on Amazon Prime on December 21st. And she just gets that acidic bitterness of Lucille Ball, which, you know, if you watch old YouTube interviews of her on the Joan Rivers show, just the way Hollywood kind of corrupted her and how the genius way her mind works, we get to go inside her head and see how she concocted the stomping of the grapes and Vitamita Vegemin and all these classic bits. I think she's going to be a huge front runner for the Oscar, honestly.
I also hear that the subplot about William Frawley and Vivian Vance is really good. Apparently, they hated each other off camera.
It's juicy, and it's played by J.K. Simmons, who we all love, and Nina Arianda, who is actually appropriate casting, because she doesn't have the best reputation on Broadway for her backstage antics. But we learned that although they were fun as the Mertzes and, you know, yucking it up on screen, they actually, well, William Frawley was a big boozer. There's a great joke that Aaron Sorkin writes, and he's about to take Lucy out to a bar, and she goes, "A bar? It's 10 a.m. And he goes, "Well, it's always 10:15 somewhere."
Well, hey, Johnny, you know, I'm looking at this thing about West Side Story. One of your notes is that it's been banned in many countries in the Middle East. And my first reaction is, what, not Jets fans over there either? But I guess that's not it's not the reason.
Well, no.
Come on, wait a second. I thought that was a good line. Got nothing. All right, go ahead. Never mind.
It's good. Like how I send Michael his greatest hits, I'll start sending you your sports greatest hits too, Len. I promise.
Yeah. Thanks, pal.
Won't be too taxing.
The reason that West Side Story is being banned in Saudi Arabia and many countries in the Middle East is, and this is shocking to me because this is still a 60-year-old musical, they haven't changed that much of it, is the character Anybody's, who we would interpret today as a transgender character. The hangs around, sort of a, we would have said tomboy back then, but hangs around with the Jets. And they demanded that Disney cut those scenes, which would actually be very difficult to cut because Anybody's is integral into all the action. But yeah, they're not going to let them play it at all in Saudi Arabia, which it's a shame. It's a good movie. The Saudi Arabians would have a great time.
It's a terrific movie, and I think it's going to be a big Oscar contender, frankly. I know you only gave it 3 stars. I'm a little more high on it than you are, but I definitely think it's going to be in the mix for the Oscars.
Oh, it certainly will. Len, Michael and I are in the same book club. At our holiday party last week, I arrive, and he looks like Ebenezer Scrooge with tousled hair sitting at the end of the table, and he just starts railing on me for giving a movie 3 stars. That means I liked the movie. How dare I like the movie?
I just can't. I'm still trying to get over the fact he actually joined the club that Riedel's in. But anyway, thanks, Johnny. Always great having you on. Johnny Oleksinski, New York Post entertainment reporter. Coming up next, well, you might not want to boast about your crime on social media. We got this genius coming up. Plus, our morning show recap is all next.
Hey, since I've been consuming over 31 whole ripened fruits and vegetables every day, I'm feeling great. That's why I tell everyone about Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables are 100% natural. They're vine ripened, whole food, and third-party tested. Now, they don't contain additives, fillers, extracts, added chemicals, sugar, pesticides, or synthetics. They're also gluten-free and non-GMO. Call Balance of Nature today and use the promo code WOR to get their best offer ever. 35% off your first preferred order and free shipping. Give Balance of Nature a call at 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751, and use the promo code WOR. They'll even put you in touch with a free health coach if you have any questions along the way. All the testimonials you guys hear on the WOR airwaves, those are real people who've experienced the power of Balance of Nature. So call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com. Use the promo code WOR. You're going to get 35% off your first preferred order. Going to be shipped to you free, but you have to remember to use the promo code WOR.
New York.
Hello, Len. Are you with us? I don't know where Len went, but there you go.
I am here, but it's your segment. So other than you're doing great.
I'm sorry about that, Len. For some reason, I thought that it was my segment. Oh, no, it was your segment, but confused. A little confusion.
You know where you are. That booster shot didn't go to your brain, did it?
Well, actually, to be honest with you, my arm is really killing me from the booster yesterday, so I'm in a bit of pain here this morning. But anyway, hey, I want to let you guys know that Mark Simone, he has on his program former TV host Bill O'Reilly and the comic Sebastian Maniscalco. That'll be coming up after the 10 o'clock news. Now, you want to check out our Facebook page, 710WOR.com, because I put a picture of my parents' dog up there. And that was pretty cute, Natalie, don't you think? The picture of Hannah? Adorable.
Oh, adorable.
A lot of people commented. Yeah, she's under the Christmas tree. She's with all the little Christmas packages and all that kind of stuff. So that's pretty cute. And you want to check out charitybuzz.com/WOR because you can bid on a virtual Zoom meet and greet with me and Len. And if you bid enough money, Len's going to throw in a raunchy Mickey Mantle storyline. And I'm
we said if they go over a grand, you have an Elaine Stritch story. I have a raunchy Mickey Mantle story. And we're both going to throw in autographed books that we've written. So it's a nice package.
And you want to bid on that because all the money is going to go to Why Hunger. And yep. We know, of course, during the pandemic, a lot of people have really been struggling financially. So it is a good cause. All right. So tell me about this genius who...
This is
he's
great.
He's going to capitalize on fake vaccine
gotta
cards,
love,
right?
Yeah. You got to love social media. There's a 23-year-old guy in Maryland named Amar Shabazz, and he goes on Instagram and said, hey, I can sell phony vaccination cards, and it's going to make me rich. And what it did was make him charged by the police. He faces now up to 20 years in jail on mail fraud and obstruction of justice. Turns out he's purchased over 600 fake coronavirus vaccine cards. So brilliant use of social media. Way to go, Mr. Shabazz.
Not since Lex Luthor has there been a brilliant criminal mind. So, all right, we do a little recap here for you at the end of our show, just to give you a sampling of the fun we have. But if you missed anything, go to our website, 710WOR.com/Lennon Michael. Check out the podcast there. You know, I often go to the podcast, Lennon. I relive our biggest hits, and I find myself laughing along with all the fun and merriment we have each morning. Kind of fun.
But you laugh at your own stuff as opposed to anything I say. Which just
kind I don't of- laugh at anything.
Kind of goes without narcissistic, saying. But what do you expect?
It's true. We had Tim Gray. He's the founder and president of the World War II Foundation. He was talking about, and today is the 80th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, over 900 are still aboard the battleship. And, 1,177 died. There were 2,400 who died on that day here on Oahu and civilians and military. And the battleship still is leaking oil. Every 30 seconds, a drop comes up from the hull and then spreads across as an oily sheen across Pearl Harbor. So you can smell what it was like that day with the harbor on fire and the oil leaking.
Mm. Now, just take a moment today and think about Pearl Harbor. That attack changed the course of history, changed the course of mankind. Sarah Isger, the ABC News political contributor from Washington, she was here. She was talking about Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Maybe Kamala Harris running in 2024? We'll see.
How can he not run again when she's in such a precarious position? It would throw the Democratic Party into chaos. If he doesn't run again and she runs, you're going to have Pete Buttigieg, the transportation secretary, probably throwing his hat in the ring. She's certainly not the lock for the nomination that would have smoothed that transition.
Ron Kuby, our buddy, the civil rights attorney, he was here. He does not seem to be feeling too much sympathy for those new mandates.
Please, you people. You, this was sprung on us. You've had almost 9 months to get vaccinated, right? Babies are conceived, as I understand the process, gestated and born in the amount of time you people have had to get vaccinated.
Whoa, tough stuff from Ron. Now, I had a booster shot yesterday, and, well, they claim I'm looking for sympathy, but I've got to be honest with you guys. My arm really hurts. Natalie, I can barely lift it. I can't move my arm. I mean, and last night I didn't sleep at all because every time I turned over, my arm was throbbing with pain. It's a very painful. I don't know if it's the vaccine or maybe the woman who stuck me just didn't know what she was doing. I'm not sure.
I think she knew who you were.
And, you didn't make it through.
I just have to barrel through. There's no humanity. There is no humanity. Yeah, no one has any sympathy for me when
Mikey.
I'm in pain this morning. Thanks
a
lot.
Mikey.
Yeah. All right, big show tomorrow. Big show tomorrow. Jesse Weber, the host of the Law and Crime Network, is going to be here at 7 o'clock. Ron Insana, CNBC contributor. He'll be talking about the... ups and downs of the stock market. Dr. Gregory Poland of the Mayo Clinic taking your questions on COVID. And Greg Giangrande, career advice columnist for the New York Post, will be here. What about these mandates? Can they be enforced? That is the big question on the table. Have a big, big jam-packed show tomorrow. Go to our website, 710WOR.com/Lennon Michael. Check out the podcast. Stick around for Mark Simone, but now the news, 10 o'clock.